Now, what's the candlestick? What is the candlestick? Now, I'll tell you what the candlestick is. You say a candlestick is to give light. No, if I had this building here packed full of candlesticks, I wouldn't have a light in the world. He never did say, I'm going to move the candle out of its place. Neither did he say, I'm going to move the light out of its place. He said, I'm going to move the candlestick out of its place. Now, the candlestick is a holder for the light. How many believe that?
Amen.
Now, the candlestick is a holder for the light. And when you take this light is not going to be put down in anything. It's going to fit only in the unseen candlestick that God places in the church. And when God removes the candlestick out of it, His Spirit has withdrawn from the church. Now, Jesus said to the Laodicean church, He sent them word, and they's in a bad fix. They were lukewarm, neither cold nor hot. And He said to them, He said, boys, He said, I'm having to deal a little bit different with you because the other church, Ephesus there, they had the candlestick in, the Spirit was still in, and I had a direct hotline from the church to heaven because the Holy Ghost was in the church and He was maneuvering. But now the Holy Ghost has moved out and I am on the outside because I'm not going to come in there with the Holy Ghost out and I'm coming in. The Holy Ghost has got to precede me and our bodies, and our bodies made habitation of God through the Spirit. And so the Spirit, when the Spirit leaves the church, then the Holy Ghost, I mean, the then Christ leaves the church. So He said to that church, He said, I stand at the door and I knock. I'm not on the inside. The candlestick has already been put out. You're in a bad fix. You're lukewarm. You're cooled off. You're not hot. You're not cold. You're ashamed to the world. You are not going in, and you're standing in the gateway and keeping others from going in. And I would to God you'd go on and get cold. Don't stay lukewarm. Fire up or get cold. Get out of the way and don't be lukewarm. And He said, I'm on the outside. I'm not inside, but I'm standing at the door knock. If any man in there will hear my voice, and if you'll hear my voice individually, not collectively in the whole church, but individually, I will come into you.
Yes, sir.
I'll come into him.
Hallelujah.
And I'll sup with him. If he rushes to give me a message with a frown on his face and turns around and walks off, that's one thing. But when he comes in and sits down and puts his arm around me and said, hi, pour me a cup of tea. Let's have a little cup of tea together. Let's sup together. He said, if you'll open the door, I'll come into him. I'll come into you, and I'll sup with him, and he will sup with me. We're going to sup together. Now, that's the sweetest thing, isn't it? You know, there's something about it. When you kneel to pray, and the one that you used to sup with is on the outside of the door, and the door is shut. Brother, you got a cold job all by yourself.
That's right.
Brother, you're fighting flies without a fly swatter. But I will tell you, when he comes in, puts his arm around you, and he's not in a hurry. You know, if a person's got someone out there honking, just a honking, and you've left the motor running, and they rush in real quick to have a little cup of tea with you, I'd just soon they stay out there and get that thing out of the way and go on down the road.
That's right.
When they come in, I want them to park it. Take the key out. Put it in their pocket. I don't want to rush in, slam the door. I want them to come in slowly and say hi.
Yes, glory.
How about putting the pot on? Let's have a cup of tea or sup, whatever that is. Bowl of soup, whatever it is. Let's have a little refreshment together. And sit there. That means that, you know, there's a lot of times I have to rub elbows with people, and I do all the time, and I try to find myself to where I get along with anybody. But I'm going to tell you one thing. If I, if I want to take time and sit down and have some, German fried potatoes and hot rolls and some green beans and, a few vegetables and tender fried chicken or steak or something, if I want to sit down there and spend some time, I'd much rather it to be someone that's, that kind of, we get along and they see the same way I do. I don't want it to be somebody that is an old, they have such an ugly spirit. You say hello to them, but you don't care anything about being around them too much. Their spirit is wrong, and you don't like to be around them. Now, I really wouldn't like to sit down. If I'm going to sit down and talk to someone for just a little while, I like to be somebody that my spirit blends with, We got to love everybody, but there's sometimes you know yourself. That's why you marry some people. You like them a little bit better. It would be good if everybody could just still feel that way about their companion forever. I do, fortunately, but a lot of people don't. They decide they made a great mistake. Picked them out of all the people in the world. They picked that one out of all of them. Thought, well, boy, I could have done better than that with my eyes closed. And I made the wrong one. But the point is this. You can say what you want to. When it describes the Lord coming in and sitting down and supping with him and he sups with me, I'm not going to be in a big hurry and it's going to be my choice. I'm not forced to do it. I'm coming in on my own accord. Brother, that's the kind of serving God I like. Now, he said this wonderful privilege of having me come in and sup with you is going to be over one of these days before long, and I'm going to leave out the front door, and the Holy Ghost is going to leave out the front door, and when he stops operating in that church, you're not going to have the privileges that you're having because I detect something. My first love is gone. Now, when that first love goes, let me just throw in a little something here real quick, there's several things. The first love, that's what he used. That's what he said about it. Let's take that, which I think he expects us to do anyway. Take that and apply it to a man and woman. They get married. And when they first get married... when they first get married, they just have their heads together like a couple of doves, and they just coo, and everything is just lovey-dovey, and he can't hardly wait to get off to come on in, and see his wife, and she wants to fix exactly that dish that he likes. Sometimes she burns it up, but he grins and, stands it some way. But he wouldn't hurt her feelings for anything in the world. They've got that first love going. But do you know one thing? I have seen people that once had the first love, but something happened to it. Yes. Now, that's what I'm talking about. There are different things. You don't never say it's only one thing that affects that first love. Oh, no. There's a lot of things that affect that first love. Sometimes there's a little sissy, come along and kind of talk to the husband. Just little by little by little gain his attention. And he kinds to get to looking at somebody else. And that goes along for 6 months. But all at once one day she lifts her voice a little. And that hasn't been done before. Well, now, he didn't use wisdom in spending a certain amount. He bought that bowling ball, and after all, she needed a dress about that. And when they fuss, then it's a little bit easier for him to talk to his little brown-eyed Susie when he gets the job. And my wife fussed at me. I got a right to do what I want. Why, sure you have. Why men work hard for the money, you know.
Yeah.
And that stuff, you say, oh, has that ever gone on? Has it ever gone on? How many times is it going on right here in the city? And the first thing you know, he's not so very concerned how quick he gets home. And little by little, she's noticing he's not getting home that first. And she says something about it, and it makes him mad. And the breach gets a little bit wider and a little bit easier from the fuss. And the first thing you know, he begins to try to find something that she's come a little short of. Well, all at once, yeah, how much you spend the other day on your mom-in-law? Bought that suitcase going down to California. Why'd she buy it herself? And the first thing you know, it grows a little bit wider. And you know, that first love is gone. Now, that's just one little way. There's a thousand ways. And, you know, another time is this. You can get so busy making money. Love your wife. You love your wife. But making money. Case, I think his name was, best I can remember. He had this wife, had a beautiful wife. She really, everyone said, she's a very beautiful woman. And they were happy. But he began to make money and lay out a church. And she kept coming by herself with a baby. He had a chance to work overtime, and he'd work 12, 1, 2 o'clock at night. And I told him, I said, how come you don't come to church anymore? Well, Brother Hibbert, I got to make some of that money. Now, you know, I've got a home I want to build. I'm going to get something better for her. Called her name Mary, we'll call her. That wasn't her name, but we'll call it that. And said, I'm making that, and he called it that good money. He said, I'm making that good money. And he said, after I get this thing in hand, he said, I'm going to be able to come to church a little bit more. I said, now that's putting something before God. Yeah. And the first thing you know, the home was broken. He lost his wife, he lost his baby, and he likely lost his mind. He lost about 75 pounds of weight. And he came to me like a skeleton at the door. And he said, Brother Hibbert, I want you to pray for me. I've backslid. I've lost my wife. I've lost my home. Why? Because he lost his first love.
That's right. Yes, sir.
He let a legitimate thing that he thought was legitimate take his time and attention off from his wife and his first love, and he was giving it to that working, and he said to himself, I'm justified because I'm working for my wife. I want to get a better home. I want to do this, that, and the other. But something affected his first love. That's exactly what happens in the church. People may get their mind on seemingly a legitimate thing. It may be a clean sport. You know, no harm in the sport. But getting the sport out of place, getting your mind and attention to where it's taking it from the time you used to give God in prayer and the word, and you're cheating. It may be watching a television, and you've got one, and you've adopted another and gotten a habit, and boy, it's kind of got in. And first thing you know, you've got about a half a dozen of them, and every other night, you can hardly wait. That certain program comes on, and that has got such a hold of you that your time for other things, and you'd say, well, now what about your wife? What do you mean? Sweetest woman in the world. But you're not giving her much of your time. Oh, she understands. Legitimate, you think. I'm not running around some other woman, no, but you're letting something affect that first love.
Yes.
I don't care what it is. It could be money, it could be a job, it could be troubles that come in. I could just go ahead and mention any number of things that takes your attention off of the wife or the husband that God's given you. And when things begin to rock, it always, you know, when said, shut up, you know, you say, shut up. And then they'll look to you and say, Isn't that sweet? My, I love you, honey. You're so sweet. You think, well, you outfit. Shut up yourself. Now, the next day you come, and she's saying, honey, when you go to the store, would you get that so-and-so? And you remember 2 days before, she said, shut up yourself. Who do you think you are? You see, and it takes a little while for that ripple to settle down. It don't settle down in 15 minutes. It don't settle down in an hour. After 2 or 3 days, though, she's hollering, honey, don't forget the store, get some baking powder, will you? Okay, Molly, and goes on. And you could tell they've kind of got over it, you know, call them honey. But the first thing you know, little by little, those things happen. And the ripples, instead of getting a foot long, and you're affected, you know. And a day's time, it takes about 3 hours to get over that ripple. And you have been cheated out of 3 hours of that. And before you know it, the ripples get to where they last 8 hours. And then you have maybe about 8 hours of trying to mend up. But then they get a little heavy and they stretch out and those ripples get to be 2 days long. Whew! And you see, they're not getting better. They're, you know, both is going at it. I'm talking about what's causing troubles today. I don't know whether psychiatrists know this or not, but I haven't got it patented, but this is what they ought to know. And anyway, when it gets to be 2 days, before the 2 days arrive, the second ripple hits about the day and a half. So that ripple is going through the other ripple, and it's still got 6 hours to go. And there's a brand new ripple, and it lasts for 2 days. And brother, before hardly a day's gone, they have another ripple. And finally, their life winds up in just one ripple after the other, and they go months. They're fussing, they're fighting, and they're squabbling, and they've lost their first love. Now, I'm not saying that you fight with Christ. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying, earthly speaking, we have husband and wife, we have our first love, and things affect it. We permit little things, I don't care how legitimate it is, you may be laboring for the king and forget the king.
Yes, that's true.
And what did he say? Jesus said, I'm coming. And I don't want you to begin to judge where you have backslid to, because if you do, you'll say, I'm way ahead of everybody else. Yeah, you are. Your head is 12 of them running, and you're ahead of everybody else. But you used to run 75 miles an hour, and you've cut down to 45. And if you cut down from 75 to 45, you might go ahead and cut down to 15. And I'm checking you right now while you're going 45 and telling you, I don't want to ask you where you are in the race. I'm going to ask you where you have cut down from where you used to run. Remember from whence thou art fallen, not to whence thou art fallen. You understand that? So see here just how far you have fallen from where you used to be. And repent and do your first works, or I will come unto thee and move the candlestick out of its place. Now let me ask you this real quickly in closing. Do you believe that, now when I say the church, I am not talking about denominational churches that don't believe in the Holy Ghost, they don't believe in healing, they don't believe in salvation or new birth, they don't believe in holiness, they don't believe in separation from the world, they smoke, they cuss, they lie, they steal, and they have church members, they join. I'm not talking about a great number of church members. I'd be the last one to say if you're a member of a certain church, you're going to hell. That's between you and your God. But I'm talking about a church that is accepted with Christ as my church that preaches the gospel of Jesus Christ. They know what it is to be born again and separated from the world and hate the things of the flesh. They do not live in the flesh, they live in the spirit. Then that's God's people, and he says, I come to you. And that was the kind of church he was talking about. And he said, I will move the candlestick out of his place. How many churches today, at one time, they had the glory, they had the praise, they had the Spirit, and there was conviction, there were healings, and there were, of course, some people may not have too many miracles in the church. You wouldn't judge it just by that, but they believe in miracles, and God does perform miracles when they come and believe and the prayer of faith is prayed. But what I'm talking about is that first love. God is saving people. His Spirit is moving in the midst. You feel the spirit of worship. There's a many a church today that has lost that first love. Now, what I have said all that to say this. There are people in our church. Now, in that church of Laodicea, he found some. And he said, I'm speaking to some. And if any man in there will hear my voice, I'll come in and individually sup with you. There's some, he said, that's not going to hear my voice. Now, what I'm saying is this. In every church, there are some that backslide. They go clear back. They get cold. And there, in every church, there are those that stay hot. What I mean by that, you say now, is hot perfect? You never make a mistake? No, I haven't been fortunate enough to have too many of them kind. We're all human, and every now and then we may make a mistake. Should do something and fail to do it. Maybe we do something and shouldn't have done it. But at least immediately we're tender, we're living for God. The Holy Spirit checks us, we repent. In other words, we ask God to forgive us, and we're willing to do anything that we should. We are living in fellowship with God. But as we move along and we see God moving in our midst, and as I said, there are churches where there are individuals that have, instead of getting out and getting cold, they haven't. They don't tell you, well, I'm backslid, I've gone back. They still come to church. They'll come maybe on Sunday morning. Now, sometime there may be a legal excuse for people laying out on Wednesday and Sunday night. But I just might throw this in. You watch it. When you see people for years and years, they come on Wednesday, they come on Sunday morning, they come on Sunday night, and they have a real up-to-date testimony. When little by little they begin to lay out on Wednesday night, and then a little by little they begin to miss some Sunday nights, and then finally they check Wednesday out. They know this Sunday that 2 weeks from now they're not coming on Wednesday night. They've already laid out several Wednesday night, and it's become a habit, and they are not expecting to come on that Wednesday. They already adjusted to the fact. If there's not an excuse, I'll make one. I just won't go. I have laid out several Wednesday night, and I'm not going. And the first thing you know, they're out. I don't expect them. I don't believe they're going to be here. And they don't come. And then Sunday night I watch them, and now and then on a Sunday night they lay out. And they'll come several Sundays and then lay out again. And first thing you know, they'll lay out two or three Sundays, and you manage to get them back, and then back out again. And first thing you know, it's laid aside. Now and then you'll see them come on Sunday morning. And for Sunday morning a while, and some of them will just kind of go along there for a good while, and some of them will eventually begin to check out on Sunday morning. Anytime anybody could have a legal reason for laying out on Wednesday, Sunday night, or Sunday morning. Weather, sickness, or something that comes in where your heart's there. But a lot of times, the drive in the heart is not to come to the house of God. They accept easy little excuses to lay out. Now, what condition is that in? Lukewarm?
That's right.
Am I right?
Yeah.
What else? First love gone. Huh? Yeah. First love gone.
Yeah.
Now, the Lord's not pleased with it. You say, well, I've got to go. He said, who's required you to tread my courts? That's like I said, honey, I've been thinking about it. I've been letting Susie take all my time. You're my good sweetheart, and I got to praying about thinking about it. And I haven't been seeing you hardly any at night. I've made excuses, but I thought I'd come back now. And I know it's right to come back now. Hug me, she'll say, you go and hug a log. Do you think I want you to come back here because you're thinking that you've just forsaken me now and you're forcing yourself back and you want to give me a thrill and you're telling me to hug you? If that's the attitude, brother, when I hugged you before, it was your idea and it wasn't nobody else's idea to come. It was your idea. And God said, who's required you to come in and offer sacrifices? Away with them. I don't like to smell them. Get away with them. I don't want your sacrifices or blood sacrifices. I'm not pleased with rivers of oil or rivers of sacrifices. He said, what I want is a spirit. Your heart, your will. And he said, you stay on the outside. He said, who's required you to tread my courts? He said, when you come in and respect me as God, and you come in because you've got a drive and you love me, then he said, it's accepted. And Jesus feels the same way with his church today. Now, what we want to have is a revival. We have it in our hearts, but we want an awakening that will cause some of these that are at that particular place, that God will reach out and grab them and get them in. And get, you say, oh, it's impossible. If they get away from that first love, oh, wait a minute. If they can get back, Jesus said, remember from whence I've fallen, repent, do your first work, get your first love. And if he didn't know a man could go back and get it, he'd have never told him to do it.
That's right.
But one thing about it, how many thanks God that the candlestick is here?
Yeah.
And how many thank God that by the grace of God through prayer, and through worshiping God and loving God and holding to the standards that God's give us, he's going to let that candlestick stay there. And we want to see an awakening. We want to see a move among people. And I want to see a move among young people. We thank God for what God's doing. But what we want to do is to reach out. Now, there's some, it's not their cup of tea. They are already interested, too much interested in other things. You can't awake them, can't stir them. And only God's going to have to talk to him. I'd like to say that God's going to save everybody that comes along. If we stay in the boat, he'll let it land. But there's too many jumping out of the boat.
That's right.
Jumping out of the boat. Find the boat that the Lord's in and get in that boat and stay in that boat. Oh, we've got to be very careful not let anything.
That's right.
Never get so busy. But what we have time to worship him.
Right.
Tell him you love him. Tell him you love him. Oh, hallelujah. Let's just raise our hand this morning. Praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We love you this morning. We praise you, Jesus. 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 Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Glory to God. Wonderful Jesus. Glory, 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 glory to God. Wonderful Jesus. Wonderful Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. I want us to stand together over the audience. And I want Brother Mosier, you can come, or Brother Thomas, either one, come and get the oil. And I want the brethren, Brother Duke, you come, if you don't mind, you brethren, you come. I'd like to give this opportunity for anybody here in the audience this morning that you want the Lord to kindle the fire a little more. You'll say, well, now, Brother Hibbard, my clock is ticking just right. And I listen to it. It's the sweetest little thing. I listen to it, and it goes tick, 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 tick. And it sounds as good as it ever did. Have you forgot to wind it? 15 minutes from then, it might go tick, 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 tick. That's it. Almost run down. And you're thinking it's just run. Peter, how's your clock, Peter? Fine, listen to it. Tick, 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 tick. It's going to miss a tick. The whole wide world would miss a tick. I wouldn't. Mine's going to go tick, tick, tick. Brother, his clock run out. He didn't know how much he needed to wind his clock. You understand that? If somebody would come to you in a certain way and all upset you, do something to make you mad as hops, How much grace have you got to stand? Not let it bother you. I'm not going to let it bother me. I hear so-and-so said something about me. You've been affected. And oh, I've seen people for weeks that have been so sweet and kind, but all at once, he did so-and-so. You pray that God will give me grace. Brother Hibbert, you don't know what I'm going. Oh, it wasn't a manifestation of the Holy Ghost at all. They had lost their victory.
Yes.
Something set them off. What would it take to set you off? I've been set off at times, and I was kind of surprised at myself. And really ashamed, too. And I really got out and said, now, God, that set me off too quick. Person said, Sister Hibbert said this, you know, said the brother said, you know, I'm surprised how easy it is for someone to set you off, make you lose your victory. And he said, what do you mean, lose my victory? Said, all it takes is just a little old lady's finger putting right on that little thing called the horn, and when she honks it, you'll say, what in the devil do you mean? Why don't you get your so-and-so? And that's exactly what he did. He'd just been to church. So Sister Hibbert knew about it and said to him, said, you know, surprising what little thing it takes to rob you of your victory.
Yes.
What do you mean? Just takes a little lady's finger touching a horn. There goes your victory. We ought to have it under control more.
Right. Right.
And this morning,
praise God.
If our clock is not, you know, those eight-day clocks, they're not called eight-day clocks just because they run forever. They only run 8 days. You can't wait 14 days and wind them. And you know what? Jesus tells us that we ought to watch our spiritual clock and keep it wound up all night. And I don't believe we could have had this message this morning, but what? Maybe the very best of us. There's a little something there we need to say, Lord, check my first love. Check my heat. See if I'm exactly hot or lukewarm. Am I ready, as the backbone of this church, to go into this revival and pray for others? Am I operating on efficiency? Am I operating on surplus power? Or am I just barely having enough power? And the enemy's not disturbing because he knows that just any minute your clock might tick its last tick. You understand this kind of language, don't you? God wants us to operate under full control.
Yes,
and this morning, whatever needs you may have, I want you to just come forward, and the brethren's going to lay their hands on you. And we believe the blessed Holy Spirit that brings the message is just going to move. And through the operating of that candlestick, God's going to meet the needs that are here this morning. I want you to come. And we're going to pray for you. Just whoever it is, come right on. God bless you. Let's believe God. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus, we love you.
Because we know that it's
we thank you now.
Yes, by the power
yes.
Of the
hallelujah.
Name of Jesus.
Hallelujah, we pray to bless this soul right now. Give her grace and give her strength.
Thank you right now.
In Jesus' precious name.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus.